good morning, Sarasota. That sound means you're listening to the Surreal News Show. And we've got a great show for you coming up. And, Alan, if you're out there, you're running late, come on in here. You're welcome to join me. It's always better when you're here. But until Alan gets here, I'm going to run the show. This is Steve, and this is WSLR 96.5 Low Power FM in Sarasota, Florida. And low power doesn't mean low impact. And thank you, Craig, for Our Kind of Folk. That was a great show this morning. Always great music with Craig here in the mornings, warming us up to Surreal News. And we have a very interesting show this morning. Jim Ellinger is going to call in about 15, and he's going to tell us about Austin Airways and some of his travels, his run-in with FEMA when he was down there trying to set up a independent radio station down there. He's an expert in independent media. He's a journalist, and he's going to be with us at 15 minutes after the hour. Then at about 10 minutes before the hour, we have Kendra Moons coming back and giving us an update. And the late-breaking news on the Surreal News Show is that last week we reported about the fair elections referendum, which was taken, tried to get on the ballot in Sarasota, and then the county commissioners, in their infinite wisdom or corruption, as you want to, however you want to say it, decided that they were going to challenge this. And this went before the court, and the judge came back and said, no, you have to put this on the ballot. Kendra is going to be telling us a little bit more about this at 10 minutes before the hour. We won that case. Yay! Now we'll see if the state Secretary of State and Jeb Bush try to challenge it more, or if they'll actually listen to what the people want to say and vote on safe elections with paper ballots and independent auditing of your ballots on the ballot in November right here in Sarasota. And this is a fight that could have implications throughout Florida and the rest of the country, because they're trying to change all of the electing machines, the voting machines, to these Sequoia and these other machines, which are quite easily changed. And there was actually something coming from Princeton University on how easy it was to take these machines and just change the ballots. But let's do some late breaking news here. Alan is on his way, I believe, in to see me. I hope he's okay and he'll be joining us. So let's talk about the war in Iraq a little bit. And so far, the war in Iraq is costing us about $6.5 billion per month. And guess how many people have died so far? Alan, well, you're not here, so I'm going to tell you. It's about 2,700 dead in Iraq. And what's happening in Iraq now is that daily, hundreds of people are being found tortured with their heads cut off. They are handcuffed. They've been tortured body after body after body. 60 bodies were found the other day. Hundreds every day. They said that there was no civil war in Iraq. Then they said, okay, maybe there is some civil war in Iraq, but maybe this is a good thing because then they're not fighting us. And, of course, scores of U.S. soldiers, excuse me, are also being killed every month. And this is just a terrible, terrible thing that's happening in Iraq. Meanwhile, we're taking our eye off of Afghanistan, where the Taliban are stronger than before. And we have, it came out in the news this week that we have an opportunity to get a group of Taliban in Afghanistan and didn't do it. We turned the other cheek. And Bush also came out this week and said, well, we're not really interested in Osama bin Laden anymore. Isn't that interesting? He's not really interested. He doesn't consider Osama bin Laden part of the war on terror. What does he consider the war on terror? Blaming Democrats and telling them if you oppose Bush, then you're supporting the war on terror. Now, Bush isn't getting it right. We went after Saddam Hussein. He wasn't responsible for 9/11, and most people in the country now understand that after $1 billion and UN inspectors, we were never able to make that connection at all. And then he took the eye off the ball with Osama bin Laden. Now, late breaking news also is that Osama bin Laden is alive and well in Pakistan and recently made a deal with the Pakistani government that they were not going to go after him. And apparently what the Pakistani government said to Osama bin Laden and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan was, if you live here peacefully, then we're not going to bother you. So here we have an ally in Pakistan who now struck a deal to let Osama bin Laden go free and live out his life in Pakistan. And here Bush said that we're going to go after any terror countries that support Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. This just plain doesn't make any sense any way you look at it. Also, late breaking news, and Alan has decided to join us. And Alan, I'm going to switch seats with you because I'm all set up over there. Let me get your mic going, but I'll let you say hello to everybody.
My problems. My apologies for being late. As you know, all of Bradenton, Florida is under construction. The school zones are absolutely slammed, and it just was a nightmare ride getting here. I pity anybody that would have been riding with me, but I am here.
I've always pitied riding with you.
I am alive and well in the studios.
Well, let me tell you about something else that's just late-breaking news. Bob Ney, we've reported on him. He was part of the scandals and all that. He's now agreed, guess what, to plead guilty. Bob Ney will be going to prison. He's going to plead guilty on charges. He also today, he had a really bad day today. You know what else happened to Bob Ney today?
His paper didn't get delivered on time.
Worse. He entered an alcohol rehab center.
Oh,
Bob Ney
man.
Is now in a rehab center, and I wish him the best there. However, he will be going to prison from there.
Well, with any luck at all, he'll go back before the judge. Maybe he'll get time served for being in the rehab, and you know how these things all work out. You know,
not working out well for Bob. I wouldn't want to be in Bob Ney's shoes at this point. Now, the other late breaking news has to do with spinach.
I heard about that.
What about what's going on with spinach?
Children, you're going to get it here first. Don't eat your vegetables.
Wait a minute. It's just spinach. Now, this is what kind of spinach? Bagged spinach, right?
It's fresh spinach, as I understand it. It's fresh
spinach
bagged.
In bags.
Yeah.
Okay. And don't eat it. This is according to the FDA, there's been an outbreak of E. coli. Okay.
People have died. I know, like it's 7 or 8 states now. It's
one dead.
It's spread to a number of states.
At least 50 other people sick, in many states.
And we're talking serious, though. We're talking
throw out your bagged spinach. Don't eat it.
Well, you know, vomiting, diarrhea, that's all part of it. But then anemia can become a part of it. And I guess even kidney failure, not being a nephrologist kind of guy. But I guess it can, the serious cases, that's what they're dying from is renal failure. Now, the beauty of it is one of the major supporters of WSLR, of course, is Whole Foods, and the foods that are brought in there are organically grown, and I would imagine the risk of this contamination being there, the way these foods are processed, is negligible. But these are the bagged and processed foods from the big spinach bagging and processing plants.
Popeye is all upset about that spinach. Well, he always used to eat it out of a can.
Eat it out of a can, though, yes.
Squeeze that can.
It was kind of like that cooked spinach, I guess, which is really bad on many levels anyway.
All right, so one of the things I wanted to report, and why don't you slide over here? Let's do a presto changeo, and I'm going to let Alan take over this mic because he likes this seat. All right, Alan, say hello.
Absolutely seamless, Steve. They didn't even know that we were moving.
Except for that big seam over there.
Exactly, with the great big pause.
All right, I'm going to try something here. Let's see if we can get some sound effects going this morning.
I noticed that's why you didn't want me over there near your laptop. That's what you're worried about.
Turn up that line in.
Line in.
You'll
there we
see
go.
See something that says line in.
Yep.
Turn it up more. And I'm going to try
right.
to get this going.
There
Let's
we go.
See if we can have a little fun this morning. These are our chicken hawks in. Oh, we have sound effects today. Look out, guys.
You know, we're going to be getting emails from your mother, though, because she always says, you know, you just play too many of those
sound
effects.
People like them or hate them.
I know.
Nobody's ambiguous about the sound effects.
But it does add a new dimension to the show. There's no doubt about that.
All right, so in about 5 minutes, we're going to get Jim Ellinger in. You're listening to The Surreal News Show on
WSLR 96.5, low-powered FM in Sarasota.
All right, let's talk. We mentioned that we were going to talk about the moral basis for fighting terror and this new...
I thought it was just good business.
Yeah, good business.
You know, you sell bombs, you sell weapons.
But they're
you know.
Trying to change the rules by which we interrogate our suspects.
That's right.
And thank goodness the debate is going on, but who is it going on in between? It's not the Democrats and the Republicans now.
No, it's the Republicans in the White House, as I understand it.
That's correct. And the Republicans against each other.
The president's saying, we want to beat him with a rubber hose, and the Republicans are going, you got to pull back there, cowboy.
Yeah, maybe use a spinach instead.
I guess. Oh, there's an idea.
Okay, so Powell came out, according to the AP, and this came out yesterday. The world is beginning to doubt the moral basis of fighting terror. Now, he's a little late. This happened a long time ago.
Oh, this was going on for a long, long time.
But at least he's coming out and saying it now. And other things, the top British officials are saying that Guantanamo is a shocking affront to the principles of democracy. This came out in the BBC September 12th. And Merkel came out and said on the CIA prisons, these are not compatible with my understanding of the rule of law, according to Reuters September 9th. And CIA officials are now scrambling to protect themselves from criminal wrongdoing and terror investigation cases. That's according to the Washington Post. And it goes on and on. And we have this battle now going on inside the Republicans. John McCain has come back and said that, no, we can't treat our prisoners that way because guess what? I was tortured, and I don't want that to happen to our troops, so we're not going to trash the Geneva Conventions, which is what Bush is trying to do here.
Well, yeah, the thing about it is, and I certainly understand where McCain is coming from, and Bush is completely and totally wrong, but our prisoners are still treated horribly as well. There's no stopping this kind of thing. And it's very tragic.
You're talking about by our own army?
No, by the foreign armies, by the people that take our men in as prisoners. And we've seen how when we had those two soldiers kidnapped, tortured, mutilated, and then their bodies booby-trapped.
And yeah, the only way to get a moral ground is if we don't agree to do similar things to them.
Oh, there's no yeah, somebody has to take the high moral ground. And I know that there's criticism right now because military photos just this week that were released showed a massive Taliban gathering.
We reported that already if you were listening. And we didn't go after them.
I had my radio down. I was coming down Tamiami Trail. I'm surprised I haven't got. I'm surprised.
Have you gotten your high moral ground coffee yet?
I'm surprised it wasn't like the Blues Brothers, you know, with the police cars crashing into each other.
I heard those police cars.
But you know, but we didn't bomb a Taliban funeral. Tragically, they will not give us that same kind of consideration in return. We will not bomb a mosque, but they will go into a mosque and shoot back at our soldiers. War is just uncivilized, Steve, and the way to deal something with it is just to stop it. And I don't know how you do that. Now, that's kind of sad.
All right, there's some other things that I want to report, and again, let's go to some more war stuff, because 2,700 of our soldiers have been killed now. This is getting to be more than 9/11, a bigger disaster there. And we reported that we're now turning a blind eye to Osama bin Laden, who is living in Pakistan, and the Pakistan government said it's fine for him to be there. And Bush said that Osama bin Laden is not part of our war on terror. This is a quote from yesterday when he spoke with a reporter.
You know, some of the other things that we see, though, out there, Steve, that are equally troubling in the war in Iran and the future war in Iraq, I will grab that. Is the genocide in Somalia?
I'm going to take over the discussion because we have Jim Ellinger who's going to be joining us, and he's right on time, Jim. And Jim is from Austin Airways, and he's going to be joining us on the airways. How about right now? Hello, Jim. Welcome to the Surreal News Show in Sarasota, Florida.
Good morning, Sarasota. How are we all doing?
We are just fine and dandy, and welcome to the Surreal News Show. So tell us a little bit about your antics and some of the things that have been going on with you.
Well, I'm just trying to keep my head above water during these turbulent times. I'm a longtime community media activist here in the live music capital of the world, Austin, Texas. Austin's one of the bluest cities in the reddest states, and we've been trying to keep our head above the waters of the rising republicanism and craziness that this country is going through. I've been involved with some cable access TV and the Austin Music Network. I put a non-commercial radio station on the air. I've been a radio columnist for the local paper, the Austin Chronicle. And since 9/11, have been focusing a lot of my radio activity overseas and in the third world.
You're talking about in New Orleans?
In New Orleans, definitely the, I don't know if it was developing or not, but it was definitely a little bit of the third world right here in the first.
Actually, I'd like to ask you a little bit about that, and then I'll let you go back. Tell us about your antics. What happened with FEMA?
Well, Katrina. I got run over by FEMA. During the height of, or the depth, depending on your perspective, of the Katrina disaster, when 25,000 New Orleans evacuees found themselves living in the Houston Astrodome, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, issued my little group here in Austin, Austin Airwaves, radio licenses, not unlike your station, a low-power station to broadcast on an emergency basis to provide emergency information to this little city who's living in this building for a while. These are all the Katrina evacuees.
And this is public service, right? You're, you know, giving them information about where to get food and things like that, I would imagine.
Absolutely. In fact, many of the FEMA officials and other government officials there were publicly complaining to the press conferences that were held every day that they were still having great difficulty in getting information to the evacuees. In fact, that there was actually riotous conditions and the National Guard had to be called out when the Red Cross, and, you know, God bless the Red Cross, but the Red Cross accidentally announced that you could get a $2,000 voucher. And what they meant to say is that anyone, any of the evacuees could have a $2,000 voucher. But it came out that anyone could have one, and people were literally driving up to the Astrodome and jumping out of their cars and climbing over fences to get one of these free cards.
I want one, too.
Yeah, exactly. And had we had the radio station up and operating, we could have easily said, no, that's a rumor, there's lots of rumors, you know, don't do that. But what happened was, even though the FCC had given us the license, and I was working with KPFT, the Big Pacifica station in Houston, and the Houston Indy Media Center, and some other good folks, and even though the FCC had given us this license in record time, just a matter of hours, they were being accredited for that, the folks that run the Astrodome in Houston, Texas, which is Harris County, the Harris County officials, notably Harris County Judge Bob Eccles, a prominent Republican operative, refused us access to the building to broadcast.
What you're saying is here you were trying to do a public service, and I guess my comment to that is...
Say it ain't so, Joe.
That came out a little loud. That was supposed to be say it ain't so, Joe. You know, we've seen these kinds of things before with the Republicans where if you try to do the right thing and sort of show them from what they are, then you get this comeback.
Absolutely. Probably the only upside to the Katrina disaster upside is it exposed Brownie and Bush and Chertoff and the rest of these jerks to be just self-serving, you know, incredibly corrupt, you know, crooks that they are.
You mean they're doing a heck of a good job, Brownie?
A heck of a job, Brownie, I tell you.
I thought it was just an excellent opportunity for urban renewal.
Yeah, well, actually called Negro removal is what my black friends would say.
Oh, gosh. But the sad thing is they then turned around and they reelected the same government, not nationally, but locally, that had let them down in the past.
Yeah, and I have mixed feelings about Ray Nagin. I don't know if you had a chance to see Spike Lee's new movie. It's still on HBO. It hasn't been distributed in movies yet, called The Day the Levees Broke, which is an excellent movie, documentary about the disaster from the perspective of an average New Orleans resident. And Ray Nagin clearly made lots of mistakes. And the problem is in New Orleans, you have the culture of corruption. I travel all over the world. I've been to some, you know, a lot of places. And some places the corruption is clearly quite obvious. What I call sometimes government by envelope. That is, you don't give them the envelope, they ain't got no government.
Yeah. Well, now, realize it was all Hollywood, but, you know, you had this very evident in the movie The Big Easy, which was a great little movie.
Absolutely. And so corruption is so embedded in New Orleans and Louisiana culture, people will just tell you, well, that's the way things are. And corruption, you know, you grease a little hand and things get done, you know, it's one way of running a government, but it is very, very ineffective in a disaster. When things need to move quickly, you need to have intergovernment agencies cooperating, and clearly we saw things breaking down on virtually every level.
And in the in late-breaking news, we have Chernoff coming out and saying there's not enough money to protect all of our secure locations within the United States.
Well, God, I hope they save the popcorn factory in the kiddie park, because, I mean, those are Homeland Security top priorities for Al-Qaeda. We need to save those
and the old McDonald's farm, yes.
God, oh, man, what would we do without it? You got to wonder. What would the world be like without Ronald McDonald's farm?
So tell us, what exactly did FEMA do to you?
Well, they ran over my butt. What happened...
It's not that's funny, but I've been of you like getting hit by a Humvee.
That's gotta hurt.
Yeah, you know, I got kind of a skinny butt, so they just kind of went right over me without even stopping. And I had done this before with other groups, mainly overseas. I would go to the city or the village and help put the station on the air, and then I would step back, allow the community to kind of enjoy its new tool and talk to themselves and for themselves. But what happened here was I found myself in this, you know, this firestorm of controversy. You have to remember that I had the FCC and a couple of powerful United States senators saying, you know, let this guy in. This is a good service. You'll find this to be a valuable resource. I had the governor Hairdo, Rick Perry of Texas, who hopefully will lose his job to the Texas Jew boy, Kinky Friedman, in a couple of months. We'll see about that. But I had the FEMA man from a Texas governor's office working with me, and I had the mayor and several prominent members of the Houston City Council saying, let this guy in the damn building and let him start broadcasting and quit messing around, you damn Republicans, in so many words. And the days went by, and I kept going back, and I presented myself. One day I showed up with a couple of prominent attorneys, and all the while I kept giving out the phone numbers of like Bob Eccles, the judge, who's the chief administrator of the county, and a couple of public information officers, and who they give me their phone numbers at first, and I handed these numbers out to, you know, not just the lefty press, not just Air America and Democracy Now! And the Free Speech Radio News, but, I mean, the Los Angeles Times. It was the lead story 2 days in a row. The Defense News, Army News, the Pentagon News, and all these radio industry publications were following the story closely. Because never in the history of the FCC and American radio had a radio license been issued on an emergency basis in a national disaster by the federal government only to be denied and blocked by some Republican operative, a county official down in Texas somewhere. So in great frustration, being kept off the air, we handed out 10,000 little radios. We made the largest purchase in the history of the Just 99-cent store, and we purchased 10,000 little FM radios for $10,000, and I had my little tax receipt there, so I didn't have to pay tax. And we handed out 10,000 radios, because one of the excuses, these BS excuses they kept coming up with, and one would just get, the excuses get worse and worse. At first they said, well, how would these people listen to your radio station? I said, we'll give them a radio. And the woman says, you have 10,000 radios? I said, yeah, I'll be back here tomorrow with 10,000 radios. And sure enough, I showed up the next day, handed the lady a radio. And she said, well, can these radios listen to other radio stations? And I said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, can they tune into other radio stations in Houston? I said, well, of course. She goes, well, we're worried, and I kid you not, we're worried that these young kids will listen to gangsta rap music and be incited to violence. Therefore, you can't go on the air. And I was stunned. And, you know, I had a couple of witnesses or heard this woman say, we don't want these evacuees listening to gangsta rap music and suddenly being incited to commit acts of violence.
Instead, they're listening to the gangsters who are the Republicans who are taking their money and their food away from them.
Well, you also got to wonder exactly what radio station in Houston is playing music that is so violently insightful as to be, you know, better not let them hear that. I mean, it was... Yeah, you know, the racial overtures were just extraordinary.
Well, you know that Toby Keith, he's pretty you know, out there.
Yeah, Toby.
Can you get
our buddy Willie Nelson needs to set Toby Keith straight. Give him something better to smoke and set that boy's mind right.
Can you? Are there any other stations that don't play country and western music in Texas? I didn't think that one existed.
Yeah. Well, remember, you know, Austin is not Texas. You know, it's people. I travel all over the world, and they go, "Are you American?" And I go, "Yeah, yeah." And he goes, "Where are you from?" I say, "Austin, Texas." "Ah, Texas." "No, we're from Austin. Biggest university in America, big high tech, live music capital of the world, lots of movies, big environmental community, and we hate George Bush and we think the war is an evil thing." "Yeah, Texas." No, you know. So.
Well, you have Jim Hightower coming from there and other liberals who are very good in Texas.
Absolutely. Molly Ivins and Jim Hightower factor all over the national news this morning because our dear, dear friend, the best Texas governor there will ever be, Ann Richards passed away last night, and we're going to the funeral tomorrow. And
she did amazing things. She appointed more women to posts than had ever been before in the history, all combined.
That is correct. In fact, many people describe her as the only woman Texas governor. Ma Ferguson, there's a good radio story, passed the biscuits, Pappy, when Pappy O'Daniel couldn't run for office again. He had his wife run. And many people say she was just a stand-in. But Ann Richards, God bless. You can just see Ann Richards in this gorgeous, immaculate white robe with nice blue bunting and her hair done up about, like Marge Simpson, you know, 8, 10, 12 feet, up in heaven at the gates. And you can see these Republican operatives going, "Oh, damn, we're not going to get in here." And Ann Richards going, "I got this book of sins you sons of bitches have done, and I'm going to stand here and tell you for eternity the terrible things you've done to our state of Texas." So God bless Ann Richards, man.
Yeah, she also lost election because of some of the things that she had done and was proud of it.
Now, go ahead.
I've not been following the race down there since Grandma dropped out, but what is Kinky's chances of winning the governorship in Texas?
It is an arithmetical and political possibility that Kinky Friedman, the Texas Jew boy, could in fact win. Now, we've already had the primary, so we've got a three-way race. We've got the incumbent idiot, Rick Perry. Some people call him George Bush's bitch. He's just sitting in there. Not even his own party really cares for him. Ms. Piggy, the former mayor of Austin, Carol Keaton, somebody or other. She changes her name as often as you change her underwear. She couldn't get the Republican nomination, so she's running it as an independent. Then you got Chris Bell, a good Democrat, though the Democrats have kind of seen their day here in Texas. And there are no elected government officials statewide that are Democrats. And then you got the Kinkster. And I'm an old, what we call, yellow dog Democrat. You could put a yellow dog on the ballot, I'd vote for him if he was a Democrat. But I've broken ranks like a lot of progressives and liberals and Democrats have here in Austin and across the state. And we support Kinky. And we think Kinky would really shake up government unlike any way any Republican and even any Democrat would do. And so to answer your question, there was just a new poll out. Most of these folks are kind of running neck and neck. There is no runoff in the primary. Whoever gets the most votes wins. So to answer your question, it is in fact a possibility the Kinkster could be the next governor of Texas.
Well, one of the thoughts I've had on that, and I've kind of called it in the past the Kinky Factor, is just because I like saying it, but is that you go into the voting booth and you go, "Oh, I'm going to vote for him," whether you like him or not, no matter who you're for, so you can go out and tell your friends the next day, "Yeah, I voted for Kinky," and Kinky's going to wake up the next morning and go, "What do you mean I won?" You know?
Right.
I mean, so there's almost like a comedic factor to voting for him, and people with a sense of humor would vote for him whether he was the right guy or not.
And, in fact, even people with a sense of humor but also greatly concerned about things. You know, in Texas, you know, we got one of the biggest death penalty productions in the world. You know, we kill people here routinely. And Kinky Friedman has said, "Well, I'm not necessarily," puff on my cigar, "I'm not necessarily opposed to the death penalty. I'm just opposed to killing the wrong guy." And that, you know, and that one line alone puts a great focus on the problems of the Texas criminal justice system.
Well, Ron White has a great line in the routine he does about, he's from Texas. He says, "Now in Texas we have the death penalty and we know how to use it." He says, "In our state, if you kill somebody, we're going to kill you back." And he said, "And in fact, we're putting in an express lane." So, it's kind of interesting down there, the approach that everything is taking in Texas. Kinky Friedman was on Larry King a few nights ago, and his comment was, in order to handle immigration, He says, you get about four Mexican generals and you put them on the border. He said, you give each one of them $1 million.
Yeah.
And every time somebody comes, you put it in the bank, and every time an illegal alien comes across the border, you take $10,000 out of that account. He says, they'll shut it down. I don't think I agree with that, but, you know, it's an interesting approach.
A lot of those things are a little bit fanciful. And a couple times, you know, I've seen him on TV, and the local hairdo is interviewing him, you know, about some issue, and he said, well, Mr. Friedman, what do you think about Senate Bill, 1234? And Kinky goes, well, I don't even know what that bill is. And the reporter trying to sound all, puff out his chest going, you don't even know what it is? Well, what's it say about your campaign? You know, how can people take you seriously if you don't even know about Senate Bill 1234? And Kinky goes, that's the whole point. I don't think Senate Bill 1234 or any of those other bills are going to make a lick of difference for your average Texan. We need to look at the whole problem. And you can see the reporter going, oh, well, that's a pretty good answer. Now, you mentioned Mexico. Myself and the world's most dangerous blonde just completed our annual Escape from America.
So how dangerous is she?
She's pretty dangerous, man. She's real dangerous. You might kick my butt, but then you'd have to answer to her. Imagine a paramedic. You know, she's got the bat belt on, the uniform, and she jumps out of the helicopter with the boots, and runs into the flaming fire to save the firemen. But she's also carrying like a battle mace and a big broadsword. And she's got these big silver breastplates and a horned hood that she wears on her head.
You need to stop because I'm getting turned on. I can't speak for Steve, but, I got the visual going here, dude.
The big metal breastplates usually does it for skinny guys.
Really? And that battle axe didn't hurt.
And so every year, the world's most dangerous blonde and I do a practice evacuation, in which we practice evacuating from America.
Oh, get out of here.
Get out of here. Yeah, on 8 hours' notice. And I'm pleased to report that we were, in fact, again successful. We had our little rendezvous points, and we had our little boxes of things we would take with us.
So they let you out. Did they let you back in again?
Well, that's always the tough one, yeah. I'm beginning to wonder how many more interviews I can do before going, look, you can't just keep bad-mouthing us and keep coming back in here. Leaving America, that is on the border in Texas, you don't even really stop. You pay the $2 toll on the bridge, and you just drive through a little series of lanes. They don't even stop you. I'm sure
that's cheaper than National Park.
Yeah, but coming back, they did check just a little. I looked in our trunk briefly. I think they may have scanned one of our passports.
Check those breastplates.
The best place would be Matamoros for us, which is way down at the very tip of the Texas Gulf. We also went surfing. We got to surf with some dolphins. That was way cool.
Oh, man.
But the idea, of course, is just to kind of, how did you spend 9/11? How are you prepared for the next terrorist attack or natural disaster on American soil? I mean, you're not actually expecting the state of Florida to come to rescue you,
are think
you?
It was National Preparedness Month or something.
You'd think.
Now, do you when you do this evacuation, do you take a film crew with you, or a news team with you, or report live as you go, or what kind of things do you do during this journey?
We haven't done the film crews yet. We have toyed with calling the local TV stations. Typically, I've been doing blogs at my Austin Airwaves blog, or on jimellinger.org, and filing the stories with radio stations such as your own and other ones around the country. And again, we've been doing it for a number of years. We didn't do it last year, of course, because we were so caught up in the Katrina disaster. Last year, during the course of 9/11, I was in the parking lot of the Astrodome going, these people want the radio station, hello. And getting back to the story, what we did is we issued a press release, and the headline of the press release said, what it feels like to be run over by the FEMA PR machine. And that generated absolutely enormous amount of publicity nationwide and even worldwide. I was interviewed on live Australian radio for 8 minutes. It was in Europe. It was around the world on Armed Forces Radio and commercial radio networks because people simply could not believe that during the height of the worst natural disaster in North America, in which, grandma was floated and bloated, as they said, that these Republican operatives, because they were worried about Bush looking bad, and more than anything, they needed to make the president look good, that they would actually deny these poor people the use of the radio.
Well, this was not a national security emergency. This was an image emergency.
Absolutely, and it was a crisis of epic proportions.
for Bush's image.
So, well, I do like to say that we did ultimately succeed. That is, the little silver Airstream radio, as many people have found out around the country called it, finally got on the air at 6 watts at 6 meters for 6 days.
Uh-oh, 666. I don't like where this is going. That's not good.
And unfortunately, by the time we finally got on the air, by the time they finally bowed to considerable amount of bad press and considerable amount of political pressure, most of the evacuees had been shooed out of the Astrodome, and they had left the building already because they needed to make the Astrodome available for something that was clearly much, much more important to the hearts and minds of the citizens of Houston, and of course that would be football.
There you go.
They have only 4 black people in there messing up their football game. So by the time we got on the air, it was just kind of a symbolic effort, I'm afraid.
Was there ever a point where literally the rage of what was happening just went to sheer frustration and tears, or did just the anger of what was going on carry you on through?
Well, I've been in somewhat similar situations before, mainly overseas and other places. I've done radio theater in Mozambique. I just completed an assignment in the Darien Gap.
Wait. Radio theater in Mozambique?
Yeah, that was a good one.
What is this, like Shakespeare and Swahili?
No, it was Don't Step on the Landmine in Bantu, and How to Get More Money for Your 3 Rows of Crops if You Take Them into Town, as opposed to when the man comes with the dollars at your gate. Pretty rudimentary stuff.
Let me just break in for a second here. This is 96.5 WSLR, low power FM in Sarasota, Florida. Low power, what does that mean, Alan?
It does not mean low impact.
And our show is?
The Surreal News, and you can listen to it, or you can go to our website at www.thesurrealnews.com. You can also get a link there to the podcast, and this show by, I'm guessing 3:30, 4 o'clock today will be out there for everybody to listen to again and again.
Hopefully we'll be streaming live as soon as we can get our act together and get that up and going. And listening to? This is
Jim Ellinger of the Austin Airwaves in the bluest city in the reddest state.
All right. He got run over by FEMA, and he's getting run over by the Surreal News today.
I like to say, you know, you've been interviewed by the best, and now you're being interviewed by us.
All right, so I wanted to ask you about some of the great people that you've met, and we were talking. Amy Goodman is going to be here the 19th. She's going to be here next week, Tuesday, for a fundraiser. I don't have all that information in front of me. There it is. Alan, go ahead and just give out that information.
God bless Amy Goodman.
Yeah, she's going to be Tuesday, September 19th, at the New College Campus, Sadukov. Is that, you sure it's not Saduko? No, it's Sadukov Center there in New College Campus. It's $25 per person, $35 per couple.
WSLR fundraiser.
Absolutely. So we're really excited about
all right,
that.
Have you met Amy?
Oh, many times. Amy and I cross paths fairly frequently. Amy is really, really generous with her time. You know, coming out to stations where, you know, many people listen to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Every day. It's the most important part of their news consumption. They cover stories that the mainstream media either doesn't cover or they get it completely wrong. And she's willing to fly down to little towns in Texas or little towns in Florida, spend the night there, and give these great speeches. Let me tell you, if you're listening to this radio station and you like Democracy Now!, don't miss the chance to see Amy Goodman live. She is a riveting, compelling speaker. She will tell you about the time she threw her body over her engineer's body so they didn't kill him in the Philippines. She will tell you extraordinary firsthand stories. She will convince you of the value of little low-powered FM radio stations such as your own, making the difference in holding back the tide against, you know, these neo-fascists. Go see Amy Goodman when she comes to Sarasota, Florida.
She's been a big supporter of this radio station time and time again.
And that's quite a feat, because we all know that engineers are pretty much a dime a dozen. you know, you shoot one, you just go get another. I mean, they're everywhere.
All right, I love to do a little name dropping. Tell us some more about some great soldiers out there.
Well, you know, here in Austin, Texas, you know, Austin really is one of the best places to live in America. I mean, it's a little hot in the summer, but you know, we got the Motley Islands, we got the Jim Hightowers, we got the Ann Richards, may she rest in peace. We have great movies being made now. Austin is like the second or third biggest movie production facility in the nation. And a cousin of mine, an actor of fairly well known, by the name of Turk Pipkin, he and his wife, who is part of my family, just completed a new movie called Nobility, kind of a play on the words Nobel. It talks about what the future of the world holds, sort of in the vein of Al Gore's movie. And in the movie Nobility, they interview 9 Nobel Prize winners. And they say, well, what do you think we should do about the world? And it's just a fascinating movie. So I'm really lucky to kind of consider Austin home, even though I travel the world a great deal. We are a very smart city. We're very sophisticated in our politics. The voting rate is very high here. The voting rate in Austin is so high as sometimes offset statewide elections that have very low turnout. We are unabashedly proud in being progressives, liberals, environmentalists. We have a good setup of media. We have some fairly good radio. We have good cable access TV. We have great newspapers here. We're not just stuck reading reprints from the conservative papers. So it's a very engaged, very active, and very sophisticated community here. It's also a very fun community. This weekend, they're expecting 100,000 people to show up for the 5th annual Austin City Limits Music Festival. This is an enormous big festival. And they have all these great names. No doubt, folks, that you may probably play on some of your music shows. This is in addition, the ACL Fest is in addition to South by Southwest, which is arguably the biggest music and media event in America. It happens every March here in Austin, SXSW. And tens of thousands of aspiring young bands and writers and industry people come to Austin for the, as we like to say, the big booze and schmooze. Because after all, Austin, Texas is a little town with a big guest list.
Well, didn't you,
so
you made
Austin's
mention,
a great place.
You made mention that it was the largest live music.
It's the live music capital of the world.
Live music capital of the world. And why is that? I heard that. You said mentioned that earlier.
Right. That is because the city of Austin, and that is actually, if you get a letter from the mayor, and he has the city of Austin, desk of the mayor, the slogan of the city is officially live music capital of the world. And it's not just a throwaway gimmicky thing. There are more clubs and more musicians and more bands that call Austin, Texas home than any other city in the world, period. More than New York, more than L.A., more than Nashville, more than London. There are more bands and people who consider themselves a part of the music industry in Austin, both numerically and statistically. Austin has one of the highest concentrations of musicians and artists anywhere in the nation. And so every wide spot in the city has a band. When they start the city council meetings every Thursday in Austin, the first thing they do is they have a live band. They get to play one song. It's live on cable TV. It gets a good exposure.
You know, somewhere in my memory banks, isn't Austin, Texas the home of Dusty Rhodes?
Dusty Rhodes. I haven't seen Dusty in years. Yeah, where's Dusty these days?
He is. Actually, I think he's retired. He may be back down there. His son, Dustin, is still wrestling. But see, so there's just no depth to the knowledge you'll find on the Surreal News.
All right, well, we do have another caller who's going to be calling in to give us our update. We're trying to fight for fair elections here, and a judge has come down in favor of putting a paper ballot referendum on the ballot for November, which is good. We've been fighting with them there. Give us a one-minute last blurb before we say goodbye to you.
Sure. Well, I just have to tell you, I hope that Florida starts the tradition, a new fine tradition of open and demographic and transparent elections that are above reproach. That'd be something new and different for Florida. Kathleen Harris, I hope you're listening, you ugly little twit. How dare you mess with the American electorate? How dare you undermine democracy in America for your own short-edged political advantages, you little twit?
Now tell us how you really feel.
I don't know when you hold back.
I'll tell you in closing, come on down to Austin, Texas for South by Southwest or the ACL Fest. Visit here, but don't move here. please.
That sounds like our slogan.
keep listening to alternative radio and alternative TV. Keep surfing the web for information. Keep reading oddball publications from around the country. And maybe most of all, in closing, get out of the box. Think outside of the box. Get out of America for at least a while. Vacation overseas. Go see what the real world is like. Go listen to people tell you what they really think about us blowing up Iraqi civilians every day. So,
alrighty. And
tip of the hat to you guys on the Surreal News.
Hey, thank you very much.
And we will put this up on our webcast, and I'll give you that link so you can hear. Here's a cheer on your way out here.
Screaming on the screaming.
Alrighty. Thank you,
Thank you, Jim Ellinger.
Alright, thanks, Sarasota.
Bye-bye.
Alright, and this is WSLR 96.5. Surreal News Show, you're hearing, Low Power FM. We have to say that about every 15 minutes in case you're wondering. And let's do a little surreal stuff. And then we have another caller coming in about 5 minutes about the Sarasota Alliance for Fair Elections. All right, so you heard about the Australian crocodile hunter
who was killed, right? Yes.
Did you hear about the response to that, the surreal stuff?
Yes, I did. Go ahead, Steve. Fill us in.
Do you hear what happened to the rest of the stingrays?
Well, not the rest of them, but I guess they found like 10 or 12 carcasses now that have been either killed or mutilated.
Stingrays. People
yes.
are taking out their frustration on stingrays, according to the Times of London, September 12th, in retaliation.
Now, do you have in the rest of the story there about the crocodile hunters' personnel response?
Tell me.
They have come on. The head of their environmental and conservation groups within the Queensland Zoo have come out and said, please, Steve would not want this. This was a freak accident. It was not, you don't go out and kill the stingrays. And of course, here in Florida, we know about the stingray shuffle. We're talking about little stingrays a foot long or, a foot wide or 2 feet wide, something like that. These are monstrous things anyway. They grow them big down there in Australia. They got the great whites. They got the enormous stingrays down there. And so basically the Queensland Zoo has had to come out and make a statement, please don't do this. Steve would not have wanted to do this. And he dedicated his life to keeping things like this from happening.
Great.
So,
exactly. It's been almost an hour. What the devil are they doing?
Okay, so do you know what the most downloaded file on the Internet ever in the history was?
The Jerry, Jerry, Jerry chant. No, I don't
know. I don't know what that is, but that's not it.
Jerry, Jerry, Jerry.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of which, Jerry got fired from Air America.
I know.
Air America is undergoing a big upheaval now.
It's our shot. It's our shot.
There we go. Okay, the most downloaded file is Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein, which beat out, you know what it was before that? The previous winner?
The wedding photos of Anna Nicole Smith.
Close.
No?
Elvis meeting Nixon.
Oh, there you go. There you
Same
go.
Same thing.
Basically. And we celebrated, well, we didn't celebrate, but I guess the Elvis's passing has been, what was it? I'm blanking on the date.
I thought
now.
He's still alive.
He is. He's living
with
in Argentina.
Mass destruction.
He's living in Rio with the guy that supposedly killed himself from Memron.
All right. Some other interesting, surreal news in about the 1 minute before we have our next caller coming in.
We need to behave ourselves, too.
No, never. Not on this show.
Arlene's in the house. Now we have to watch it.
Uh-oh. Let's get real here. Okay. The interior official says that on the department's ethics, the Department of Interior, simply stated, short of a crime, anything goes, according to the New York Times a couple of days ago. In other words, cronyism, cover-ups, incompetence. Okay, this is our Interior Department saying, this is according to them, this is Earl E. Devaney, the Interior Department's Interior Inspector General at a hearing at the House Government Reform Subcommittee. In other words, corruption is just now the way it is. It's just the
following the New Orleans model,
the daily routine here.
How do I get one of those jobs? Have you ever tried to apply for a government job?
Without money?
Well, the first thing you have to do is try to figure out where to apply. Who do you apply to? Where do you get the application? Now we have millions of people working for the federal government, a whole lot dumber than I am, and I can't even figure out where to get an application to sign up.
Yeah, comments like that will get our ratings down. But, however, I want to report that Fox News ratings have plummeted. Did you read this?
I did not know
that. According to Eat the Press coming out last month.
Eat the Press?
Yeah, it's part of the Huffington Post. By the way, we are on the Huffington Post if you look us up under the Contagious Festival. But they're down like 28%.
Good heavens.
Okay, which is a huge plummeting from previous. So don't watch Fox, and we say it. And it seems to be working.
I guess. Fox was the quote the public relations wing for the conservative White House, basically.
Right. Tom DeLay's kind of mouthpiece. Now you know what DeLay's doing?
Well, I know he's trying to throw the Dancing with the Stars thing.
Correct.
One.
He's
yes.
lobbying for stars on Dancing with the Stars, according to Think Progress, coming out a couple weeks ago.
Well, you saw how well that got him. He came out, was lobbying for Sarah Evans, the little Republican warbler that sings at every Republican function she can. So he came out in support. The only reason she's still on was Tucker Carlson danced worse. He was the first one to go. And sat in a chair the whole dance, pretty much like he reports. And so the only reason that I think she's still on it, because he was worse at it than she was.
And
so,
behave. Yeah.
Okay, speaking of behave, a new book revealed that Karl Rove's father was gay, according to the Huffington Post.
Karl Rove's father was gay?
That is correct.
So this means Karl Rove is like, what, from a test tube or something, or adopted?
You can draw your own conclusion.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Also coming out in late-breaking news is Britain is one of the most corrupt country, according to Economist, according to the Daily Mail, according to the highest on the list of corrupt countries in the world.
England is?
England is, but
they are so proper over there. They wouldn't do anything like that. Well, and on this list, where did we rank? Do you have a ranking for the United States?
Yeah, we're like in the negative numbers.
Really? As being not corrupt?
Of being, like, corrupt.
Oh,
yeah.
Being, like, okay. I mean, I think, all right, America, you hear it here on the Surreal News. We want to be number one.
Yeah, there you go. And speaking of corrupt, the UN inspectors reviewed the congressional report on Iran and said that it was outrageous and dishonest. In other words, the UN inspectors who are investigating Iran's nuclear program complained that the Bush administration and the Republican congressmen, according to a recent House committee on the report on Iran's capabilities, said that parts of the document were outrageous and dishonest. You know, you can't believe the mainstream media, Fox News and CNN and now ABC, when they're reporting the stuff that Bush and the Republicans are reporting. It's just lies, and it's just come out. You know, believe the UN inspectors, it's their job to do this stuff.
Well, the thing about it is the slanted news, and you hear these right-wing radio hacks like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, and they got and the phrasing they use is very critical to making the American public believe that what they're saying is so. And it's phrases like, well, of course you know that. And so right away you don't want to be considered stupid, so of course you knew that. Or it's common knowledge. Steve, I could say it's common knowledge that the Surreal News is sweeping the entire area in the ratings. And there'd be a large number of our listeners out there that would actually maybe tie in. Well, no, we have a very sophisticated audience. They would. If we had Rush Limbaugh's audience, they would go, oh, well, gosh, I better Rush better be careful because the Surreal News, I mean, it's common knowledge. And they tie into that. And if you listen to how they put it, or they put themselves in such a pompous position, that's how these lies get accepted as the truth. And we do nothing but what? We let you know the truth.
This is what we do here.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation, is Mr. Know-It-All.
Mr. Know-It-All with misinformation. Thank you, Rocky. Okay, so...
Well, Rock, now for the Surreal News, I'm going to take it back over to Steve. Hello, Steve.
And now in the time machine, let's go way back.
That's
way back to Americans saying that the White House politicizing terror is the only card they got. So the White House is now saying, we're not even interested in Osama bin Laden anymore. We're just going to say that everybody be scared of terrorism. Of course, their idea of terrorism isn't even going after Osama bin Laden. The CIA shut that down. Just attack the Democrats and blame them for supporting terror. That's the only card they've got now.
You know, it's funny because it's hard to be afraid of a guy that, you know, is 6'6" in a land of people 5'6". Dragging a dialysis machine behind him. But, you know, he's
big
still
threat.
Out there.
And
he's still dangerous.
And they don't even consider him a threat at all.
No, he's still dangerous.
He's living in Pakistan. The Pakistan government struck a deal with him where they would leave him alone. One of our allies is basically saying, just leave Osama bin Laden alone. We're not even going after him anymore. Now, Clinton had something to say about some of this, too. And he came out and saying, he slammed the GOP, saying they've trotted out that dog for the last three elections. And he was talking about national security and trying to tie 9/11 to the war in Iraq, according to the St. Louis Times Post-Dispatch coming out this week.
Well, we're also kind of waiting. Here we are ticking through September to the October surprise, and everybody's kind of wondering what it's going to be. And the sad thing is, it's so blatant that if something like that came out, then people would just go, you know, it's
no big
deal.
Americans are getting tired of this. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, tragically, and it gets right down to our voter turnout during the last polls. Now, Manatee, pretty good. We had like 23-24%. Statewide, we're only looking at 18%. And tragically, you get what you deserve sometimes. And if you don't get out and vote, then whatever we end up with is you deserve that, tragically.
All right, speaking of what we're going to end up with, the GOP is ready to launch its biggest negative campaign error, and this is your tax dollars at work, according to the Washington Post coming out this week.
So I can wrap my little brain around this. So their biggest negative campaign
ever.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
In the final 60 days of the campaign, which we're in right now,
yes.
You're going to see House Democrats and Senates being slammed by the GOPs, and they're pouring. Now, that guy who did the Swift Boat for Truth people,
right,
just dumped $5 million into more negative ad campaigns. And since he's a 527, he's not restricted at all by the campaign finance laws. He can say whatever he wants, and he will, and he's already going at it tooth and nail, trying to spread as much disinformation and lies. You're going to see this in the news. And the other thing, did you want to comment on that? No, I have
The negative comment, the negative advertising is I just think is so wrong. Tragically, some truth does come out, and it is negative. Tram Hudson was a major loser in a negative or mudslinging campaign, and it cost him dearly. Would he have been able to compete with Vern Buchanan? I don't know. You had a pretty much a Republican right-wing whack pack running for that that kind of diluted the vote a little bit. But Tram Hudson got caught up in that. And I think he was a good man, genuinely, even if he was a Republican.
I think it's a great time for a disclaimer.
Okay.
These views...
We need to write this thing down somewhere. Not necessarily those of the staff or management of WSLR, its volunteers, or...
Anybody else, or you or me.
That's right.
You're listening to some political comedy. Yes, there is some truth thrown in here. And the reason why we give this disclaimer, and the reason why we say this is political comedy is
because Carlene's sitting in the next room. She'll come
well,
out
that's one
that
reason, too. But also, with satire, and I'll tell you that Al Franken has educated this. You know, if you just have satire and comedy and such like that, there are some protections in the law for that. And we don't say that anything that we say is true. You can take what you want and leave the rest. There certainly is some truth to some of the things that we want to say, but mostly comedy, and that does protect us on the radio station. If you're wondering why we keep saying that annoying thing every week,
it's because Arlene makes me. She says to hit me with a stick if I don't.
Now, speaking of hitting you with a stick, your taxpayer money is paying for Bush's GOP fundraising trips, according to the AP, which came out a couple weeks ago. So the Republicans are trying to regain Congress and capture back the high stakes midterm elections. And what they're doing is they're flying the president around. Bush has collected about $166 million, all of it going to Republicans. And our taxpayers' funding is paying for this.
Steve, have you had an opportunity yet? Because I know there's several lists out there now, both Republican and Democrat, showing the seats that are vulnerable. It's, as I understand it right now, it's entirely possible for the Democrats to literally...
Listen, if there was 20 now, they're talking about more like 40.
Yeah, so
which could swing either way.
It could swing. So the Democrats could retake the House.
And the number of Republicans is at an all-time, is at a two-year low. Did you hear that's reported in the Rasmussen Reporter coming out just a couple of weeks ago or so?
Well, Alan's informal poll, the people I'm talking to, are changing their voting. Either they're either changing their party preference, or they are not
down
voting.
Down 37% in October from October 2004, and 34% from the beginning of 2006.
Wow.
Going down pretty fast. And this is a
lot more
independents too, 1,500 voters. What was that?
A lot more independents cropping up as well.
That's true. And the number of Democrats has grown slightly. Most of the what the change we see is Republicans turning to independents.
So it's kind of like, well, I've been a Republican all my life. I can't be a Democrat.
They just don't feel comfortable with the Republican Party anymore.
So rather than like change, jump ships entirely, they'll become independent and then vote their heart, which generally is Democratic.
All right, let me just, yes, and let me just mention in the like 1 minute left that I guess we're not going to have the Sarasota Alliance for Fair Elections calling in, but they did win that lawsuit with the judge. This doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be on the ballot. We're hoping it would, and we're hoping we can get some news, but we'll report on that next week. But if you do see that on the ballot, and this is a ballot just stating there should be fair elections, there should be a paper ballot, an independent verification of your vote. Say yes. This will send a signal to George Bush, Florida, and the rest of the country that, hey, this really crazy idea, we should actually have our votes counted. Does that sound like a crazy idea to you?
You just live in that blue sky world of yours again, Steve, where you want to vote and you want to have it count for something. And I applaud you going down and voting early, like you did, and that's pretty cool. The question I have, and I know we're running up against the clock on the computer here in a second, but the judges said you have to put this now on the ballot and let the voters vote.
Yeah.
So what is their next step now? Is the Sarasota County going to spend more taxpayer dollars?
They
and
could spend
this,
more taxpayer money and keep fighting us. Also, Jeb Bush sent the Secretary of State. Why would he do this? Spend more of your money to send the Secretary of State here to try to prevent you from voting on something that would allow, well, paper ballots and real voting that going on. The Republicans, the high administration, is very scared of there actually being real elections and proper voting here. And then they're...
So basically we're nowhere in the third world nation.
Here's the strategy. If they have a law that says all the districts have to have the same type of voting, right? So
right.
What do? Rather than fix the machines that they know are broken, it's been documented they had zero people voting or more people voting than actually registered, they're going to mandate that every district throughout the state and then throughout the country adopt these same broken machines by law. Now, if you have one district saying you have to have verified, which is, by the way, the law, all this ballot says that you're going to vote on in November says just follow the law. You have to have fair voting. It's just fair elections. Republicans, independents, Democrats all support this. That means they can't force these bogus machines throughout the whole state and possibly even throughout the whole country. Right here in Sarasota, which is just breaking ground for the whole country, time and time again, we have an opportunity to vote for something that have implications around the whole country and potentially the whole world.
Yeah, it really is, and it's just a shame we have to get to this. Why can't you just... But, have you ever watched the movie The Gangs of New York with Leonardo DiCaprio and Stewart from Star Trek, The Final Frontier, Patrick Stewart? But when they were trying to vote, when they were trying to keep from electing an Irish sheriff. They did not want an Irish sheriff. And this was a whole big deal. At one point in the movie, the guy says, we just had 3,000 more people vote than we have registered, and we completely and totally run out of ballots.
And that's happened across the country and across
exactly.
Florida. Now, speaking of movies, there's a movie coming out showing Bush being assassinated. Have you heard about this?
I have not heard
of
that.
The Bush assassination movie is going to be released in the U.S. They sold the rights for over $1 million. This is according to Reuters, came out a couple of days ago. This is going to be really interesting.
I have a bit of a problem with that. I'm sure Jeb or George Bush does, but I just have a real problem with that kind of a movie. It's kind of like years ago when they had the...
Actually say it's supposed to be interesting and worth watching and
really?
We'll see what happens here. More stuff to come. The other thing that you're going to comment on is, you know how we always get tongue-tied and we have a difficult time saying remembering what we're going to say? That's why we have these things printed out.
Well, no, that never happens to us, but maybe other radio commentators.
What was your name again?
I have no idea.
Okay, so do you see what Mick Jagger's doing?
No, what?
Okay, so this was reported. Mick Jagger is using a prompter not only to remember his lyrics on stage, but also the funny banter that he uses in between his songs.
His ad-libs are
his
being
ad-libs
scripted.
His ad-libs are scripted on a prompter, according to the Times of London, came out a couple weeks ago.
I've seen him on the stage. I have visions of this guy with a teleprompter running back and forth across the stage, trying to keep in
this is Surreal News Guy. This is the way it is. Other things I just want to report, we're definitely running over. This is the Surreal News Program 96.5.
Low Power FM?
Here in Sarasota, Florida.
Thank you. And there's been an exodus of the CDC. You know, the CDC, the people, the Centers for Disease Control,
right.
The proper scientists are basically leaving or being kicked out there, and this leaves our public health just vulnerable. Another one of these agencies that Bush is just loading with cronies, and this has...
How many people can he know in the scientific
concern.
World?
I can't tell you as a healthcare professional. We really rely on the CDC for things like AIDS, right? I mean, CDC.
I'm sure the CDC think, right now is involved in this E. coli outbreak.
CDC's been trashed by Bush, okay? And people that have been there... for 40 years, are basically leaving. This is according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And we rely
coming
heavily
out this
on
week.
They're the ones that are surveying the bird flu. I'm sure, say that tongue-tied thing. The bird flu. Also, I'm sure they're involved in the E. coli outbreak, tracking the
Why are these
pandemic.
Things happening? Mad cow disease. And there was a chance for all of the meat, 100% of it, to be tested for mad cow disease. There was an inexpensive new testing that came out. And what happened is the CDC and the FDA came out and blocked it because their cronies didn't want to have basically somebody else coming in and telling them what to do, even though it was the right thing. Cronyism puts your health at risk time and time again. Deaths, destruction, hey, that's the American way.
I guess we got here Tuesday. We need to announce Earth Dance is this week. Isn't
Earth
it?
Dance is like tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow? That's right. Tomorrow.
I think it's 3 to 2, 3 p.m.
Gates open 3 p.m. to 2 a.m.
It's going to be at the Crosley.
Right? It's at the Crosley Mansion.
Mansion.
And some
and
big.
How much?
It's let's see. It's going to be $15 at the door. You can get the $10 tickets in advance, and it's going to be a hoot.
You can dance with people that are going to be dancing to the same song around the world. Around the globe.
The one I would really like to hear, the Drum Studio All Stars. If you've never been to a drum circle, it's an amazing thing to see. And I love it.
It's a cool thing.
It's a huge event. It really is. Are you going to be there with your MP3? Are you going to be doing any reporter type stuff? Or,
we'll try to be there if I'm not busy doing other chores that I'm asked to do.
I hear you there.
Anything else that you want to report? I know we're sort of running over. I also wanted to mention that according to Novak, that Armitage, this is Richard Armitage, did leak the information about Valerie Plame.
Yes.
Now the phone is ringing. I guess Arlene is going to get that. But he also said that the information that Armitage is saying is incorrect, and that Armitage didn't, as he said... Oh, it's Kendra. Okay, all right. We have Sarasota Alliance on the phone.
Well, here,
we're
going to
go
that.
Over and put Kendra.
Stop that.
Try to get Kendra on the line here. Alan, can you stay for a couple minutes?
I can do that.
All right. Kendra, are you there? Kendra?
Hi, I apologize.
You're late, but you're lucky. We're still on the air. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
We did make an announcement, but in the short time that we have left, Kendra is for the Sarasota Alliance for Fair Elections. Kendra, give us a... short, brief update about what your breaking news is.
Well, it's so exciting. The judge has decided in our favor. There's going to be a referendum on the ballot in Sarasota County in November for voter-verified paper ballots and mandatory audits of election results. The citizens will have a chance to choose the voting system and declare whether they want verified elections or not.
All right, I want to cheer for that. Here's a cheer. All right, we're just super, super happy about that.
It's so exciting. Now, we need all the voters of Sarasota County to vote for the amendment.
To vote for this, right?
It's a huge education process because there are a lot of people who haven't been following the newspapers or the story. This is very important. Other counties are looking to us for leadership. Other states are looking to us for leadership. I got calls from California. You know, we need contributions for our legal defense, you know, people can mail checks to SAFE, you know, P.O. Box 163.
Or go to safevote.org.
Safevote.org. See the whole story. It's very exciting.
Okay, now,
it's
tell
for
me,
the citizens.
I got some couple of quick questions.
Yes.
We were concerned that they might appeal. Is that going to happen? Do you know?
They might. We don't know. They have 30 days to consider it. Frankly, I think they'd be, you know, doing themselves a disservice in the minds of the voters if they appeal it. Because this is truly something the citizens want. Many people of all political parties are very concerned about these voting machines, and the ones we're talking about could save the county money. It would save us money over the next several years and beyond, and it would give us a ballot.
It doesn't seem like they're really interested in fair elections by trying to block this or by listening to what people say. We've seen, I know you don't, you can't necessarily say that, but we can say that.
Well, it's just that they examined the language, and the good news is the judge found in our favor, which is just fabulous. And this is a very important thing for, so all voters should be reassured. This is a very valid consideration, and we need to vote for it.
And
for
basically what it says is the safe referendum is that we should just follow the law and have paper ballots and verifiable elections. Just follow the law is all it says,
well,
right?
Well, no, it's following the law and let the voters vote. You know, number one, the voters have to vote on this. You know, we need to vote it in, and then we can talk about having our verified elections. So the voters need to go to the polls on November 7th. Everybody needs to get up and get out and vote. That's the only way this is going to happen. Now, we're talking about democracy here, folks, so we can't just sit back and applaud and say, good, you know, some of the people have really worked hard on this. Everybody needs to get out and support it.
All right, tell me if the following statement is true. If let's say this was kept off the ballot, then the Republican administration and the Secretary of State could mandate that every district has the electronic voting because of a law that says that all the districts need to vote the same way. Is that true? Do you know?
That's not absolutely true, because the fact is we don't all vote the same way now anyway.
There's a lot of laws they don't follow, too,
of
course.
No. But 52 counties use the machines that we want. 52 counties already out of 67 use optical scanners and paper ballots, like Manatee, just northwest.
But they could get rid of those. They could mandate
I don't think so, because optical scanners are certified in Florida. So they're not going to get rid of them, I don't think. And they work very well all over the country.
I thought they had a law that was supposed to fix this that would have the opposite effect, that said that all of the counties needed to use the same uniform system. In other words, they could use that to get rid of the verified ones and force people to have the electronic ones.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen, because that law exists now and we don't have uniform systems now. So that's a huge question mark.
Yeah, maybe they're pushing for that and we just haven't seen that yet. This referendum, if it's passed, could effectively block that, because it says you can't do that here, which may force it. We don't know. I don't know. I don't have the answer there, and I'm not a lawyer or a legal expert. But it could have the effect of repercussions of forcing fair elections throughout Florida. And then who knows, maybe the rest of the country, the rest of the world, the rest of the universe.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Everything.
Wouldn't that be
wonderful? You could solve every problem in the universe right here and now.
We started it, this little band of Indians. And believe me, people are applauding all over Florida. So we've got to keep it going. And Sarasota citizens, let's everybody get out and vote. None of these low voter turnout things. This is so important. And
absolutely,
everybody's looking to us for leadership. So let's do it.
Absolutely. Well, Kimber, thank you so very, very much. This has been great. And congratulations to your group.
Well, thank you.
All right, one more thing I'd like to add here. I hope this works.
Woohoo!
Okay, let's try that again. I like that.
Woohoo!
Okay. All right.
Kimber, thank you for calling in, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Very good. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right, that was wonderful.
Woohoo!
I love that. One more time.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks, guys. And you're listening to This Surreal News, which is just ending, WSLR 96.5, low power FM in Sarasota, Florida. And go ahead and bring up that computer. Okay, wait a second.
I just want to give you an edit point.